Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot that can be said about today's reading from Matthew's Gospel. And I'm going to say a few things, but bear in mind here that when Matthew wrote the Gospel, he was filled with enthusiasm and excitement. And things that he was ready to do, you might not be ready to do. Now, I'm getting some blank stares out there. But if Bart calls you up this winter on behalf of nominating me and asks you to take a role for the church, would you be inclined to say yes if she said, oh, by the way, you may be flogged in church. You may be called in front of the government and denounced. And your kids are going to turn on you. I don't think that's really going to be much of an inducement. But I want to look at the passage and talk with you about what's going on here, because this is a really powerful call to mission work. And this is Matthew's missionary discourse. Let's start with Jesus' talent pool, which is what I titled today's sermon. Who here has done some hiring in the past? You can raise your hand.
Done what?
Hiring. You've hired people for a job. Okay, so you've had to collect a pool of applicants, and hopefully you had a good pool of applicants for those jobs. This is the talent pool that Jesus had to work with, and it's listed here in Scripture. Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. So, telling people that Jesus' first recruits included someone who betrayed him and a tax collector was not really saying that Jesus had the pick of the litter. We don't know who Zebedee was, although his name seems to have resonated with people throughout the ages. And we cannot say anything about Alphaeus, who was the son of, I've got to look it up because I can't remember that, the father of James. But these reputations matter, at least within that community. But it still doesn't tell us much. Why did Jesus choose these people to be his disciples, his apostles, the ones he was going to give all authority to go out and share the Jesus? We don't know that they had any charisma. We don't know that they could speak well. We don't know that they looked attractive, that they dressed well. We don't know that they had connection to the community. None of that mattered to Jesus. Now we have and this is a broad brush way, but we often have a desire to hang out with people like us. And we often might want people who have done well, who are attractive, who are compelling. And what happens is we very rapidly narrow the circle of people we want to recruit into our circle. That is not what a church should be doing. We are supposed to be an evangelistic organization. And the bylaws of the UCC say that we are an evangelistic church. We go out and spread the good news. So we hung the banner, the new banner last week, and you'll notice we've got a rainbow stripe on it. That is a statement of who we are. We welcome all. It's also, frankly, a marketing gimmick. We're letting people know they're welcome here. Now, why would we as a church want to say to folks, you can come and you can come, but you can stay out? Think about that. Who here is not a sinner? We're all sinners, every one of us. So why should we be saying that something someone else is doing is wrong when we won't look at ourselves? Just because we may not understand or may not like people's behavior does not mean that we should read them out of not going to talk to you about how we need more people to pledge to the church. No one ever joined an organization because they were identified as an attractive pledging. Doesn't happen. No one's going to join the church because we know that you are good accountants and you would be great at filling our treasurer's role. And that's not meant as a diss against our current treasurer. People are going to join the church because they see what it does, because they see it reflects the love of God. And the mission work we do is critical to being a church. So today we've got the Father's Day offering, which is Blanket Sunday. Excuse me, that was already we did Blanket Sunday. Today is Shelter Sunday with Habitat in the Upper Valley. And we had a representative come from Habitat a few weeks ago, and we heard about how they're building homes for those without housing here in the Upper Valley. That's critical work. That's the kind of work the church should be supporting. And we do. But it's not enough. It's not enough. There's always somebody without a house. There's always somebody without clothing, without a job, without food. And perhaps they're here with us today. We don't know. But we are all valued. God chose these 12 people to be his followers. We know nothing about them. We learn a little bit about Peter going on. We know Peter was the rock upon which Jesus would build his church. And the less said about Judas, the better. But these were the people that Jesus chose. They were the ones who had evinced an interest and a commitment to what Jesus was doing. So you may say, well, it sounds pretty narrow what Jesus is doing here. He's told the apostles that they should go and limit their work within the Jewish community. But we know that at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus expands that a bit and tells them to make disciples of the people of all nations. But Jesus was focused on his own community first. And when he talked about sheep and shepherds, he was using imagery that was well known to the people of that time. They understood that it meant that Israel did not have a king or a prophet, somebody who could guide them forward. And it's true. I mean, yes, there was a guy living in a palace, and he'd been appointed by Rome, but he wasn't the king of Israel. Not as far as Jesus was concerned. And we know that Jesus was supposed to assume that role. And Jesus was supposed to teach and to heal and to lead. And some people followed him. And lots of people did not. Now, you may be thinking, oh, well, I would have followed Jesus. That would have been really easy. But what if your neighbors did not? What if your work colleague did not? What if those people followed some other figure? What if the leaders in your faith community said that he was a charlatan? What would you have done? What would I do? Following Jesus is not easy. But nobody says it will be easy. And we read here in the gospel just what followers of Jesus can expect. You could be flogged. You could be denounced to the authorities. Your family could turn against you. But Jesus' teachings were so radical. And we've lost sight of just how radical they can be because we've been hearing the gospel for 2,000 years. But what Jesus says really can change the world. And I will give credit to the gospel for the fact that you're all here today. You could be out at the Skip Matthews Run this morning, which is a worthy cause, which I would prefer took place on a Saturday or from Sunday in the afternoon, but for runners, the afternoon is not necessarily good. But you chose to be here today, and I give thanks for that. So nobody's going to be flogged. And I'm hoping that nobody's family members are going to turn against them. Instead, you are welcomed here. And we care about you. And we don't care whether this is your first Sunday here or this is your 40th year here. You matter to this church because you are Jesus' talent pool. So this is an early pitch for recruiting season to take place later in the year. But think about the gifts you've got. And think about how you can share them with the wider community. And be in touch with me or with Barb. And we'll find a job for you. And if you are a tax collector, you're still welcome. God still loves you. We still want you. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, thank you for these puzzling stories from Scripture which challenge us, but also encourage us. Please help us to remember that we are blessed by you in many different ways, some of which are visible and some of which are not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.